Leaving the tabernacle this afternoon, I ventured out through the north doors, and much to my surprise, there were many forming in line to come into this meeting, some 3 hours away. As I stopped to visit with some of those standing in line, much to my surprise, a goodly number of them were young men, bearers of the Aaronic priesthood. Tonight I pay tribute to you for your devotion. It is to this chosen generation, a royal priesthood, I would like to direct my remarks here at our priesthood session of our conference. When I was assigned to give this talk in the priesthood session, I called Elder Backman, the new president of the Young Men's, and asked for suggestions on what needed to be said to the young men. Within a few days, I received his response. It was, "The youth are at a most interesting time in their lives. They will soon be making major decisions that will shape their future, such as going on missions, to college, a profession, marriage, etc." His counsel was to speak on making right decisions. Attached to his memo was a Peanuts cartoon. It pictured Linus standing with a nice, firm snowball in his hand as Lucy enters the picture. She surveys the situation and makes this comment to Linus. "Life is full of choices. You may choose, if you wish, to throw that snowball at me, or you may choose not to throw that snowball at me. Now, if you choose to throw that snowball at me, I'll pound your head into the ground. If you choose not to throw that snowball at me, your head will be spared." Then Linus, throwing the snowball away with a disgusted look on his face, said this, "Life is full of choices, but I never get any." Linus is right. Life is full of choices. But I found him to be wrong on the second part. Decisions are before us every step of the way. Richard L. Evans, in talking to us in the film Man's Search for Happiness, said these great lines. "Life offers you two precious gifts. One is time. The other is freedom of choice. The freedom to buy with your time what you will. You are free to exchange your allotment of time for thrills. You may trade it for desire. You may invest it in greed. You may purchase it with vanity. You may spend your time in the pursuit of material things. Yours is the freedom of choice. But these are not bargains, for in them you find no lasting satisfaction." There's a most exciting story told in the very beginning of the Book of Mormon of a family that had some grave decisions to make. Just imagine for a minute that you were a part of that household, living with Lehi and his family in Jerusalem, in a very comfortable home, warm and secure, surrounded with the good things of life. As you arise one morning, your father calls a family council, and he states he had a dream last night, and then startles you with this statement, "Go to the garage and get your sleeping bags and your tents. Take just what provisions you can carry on your backs. Don't worry about the gold and the silver and the precious things. We'll have no room for those. I have been commanded of the Lord that we should depart in the wilderness and never return again to our home to live as we have been." That'd be quite a shock, wouldn't it? I can just imagine what I'd think if my father got up some morning and told me such a thing. The scriptures record that he left his house and the land of his inheritance and his gold and his silver and his precious things and took nothing with him, save it were his family and provisions and tents, and departed into the wilderness. They'd only gone a short distance when his sons were required to make another decision. For Lehi told them that he'd been commanded to return and seek after the record that Laban had, that was the genealogy of his forefathers. And the Lord had commanded him that he should take that record with him into the wilderness. Now, that was a hard assignment. Laban was a rich and powerful man. And the sons murmured a little against their father. But one of the sons stepped forward and said, I will go and do the thing which the Lord hath commanded. For I know the Lord giveth no commandment unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he hath commanded them. Now, several decisions faced these young men on how they would obtain that record from Laban. It is most interesting to me to follow that process as they made those decisions. First was just to leave it to chance. They drew lots, and the lot fell to Laban. He went up to the house of Laban and requested the records. But he didn't get very far just leaving it to chance. Laban was angry with him and said, Behold, thou art a robber. I will slay thee. That was enough for Laban. He left and fled back to his brothers and reported that leaving things to chance just didn't work. Now Nephi thought of another decision. With all that wealth that they were leaving behind, why not use the things of the world to make the decide to buy that record? So he gathered up the gold and silver and went to Laban and offered to purchase the record. Well, things of the world didn't work any more than leaving it to chance. For Laban saw the property and did lust after it, then looked at these boys and then all of his servants, and it was easy to determine that they were no match for Laban and his servants. And he sent his servants after them, and they had to flee for their life. Now the brothers of Nephi were disturbed with him. They'd almost lost their life twice, trying to attempt to get the record. But Nephi reasoned with them this way. Let us go again to Jerusalem, and let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. For behold, he is mightier than all the earth. Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50? Yea, even his tens of thousands. Who could argue with such sound reasoning? Of course the Lord is mightier than Laban and all his servants. So by night, Nephi leads his brothers outside the wall of Jerusalem. He creeps inside alone towards the house of Laban. This time, not leaving it to chance, or trusting in the things of the world, but going by faith in the Lord. As he came to the house of Laban, he found a man fallen to earth, drunken with wine. Coming closer, he found it was Laban himself. Laban had been delivered into his hands. The Lord, in trusting in faith, had opened the way to obtain the record. Making decisions to trust the Lord had produced results. Now, there's a great lesson to learn in this decision-making process of the sons of Lehi. Of course, leaving decisions to chance is not a very acceptable method. I can remember one time when I was in the Marine Corps, stationed at Camp Pendleton in California. I left a decision to chance, and it turned out to be a most unpleasant situation for me. My buddies had been after me for weeks to go with them into Los Angeles. They said what a good time they were having at the big dance hall there. I'd resisted for a couple of weeks, but each time they applied a little more pressure. Finally, I decided, well, just for once, I'd leave it to chance and see how it worked out. We started towards the big dance hall in Los Angeles. We were riding a streetcar. As we progressed from stop to stop, it was filling up with many young ladies. They were extremely forward. I felt most uncomfortable around them. As they approached me, I adopted a tactic completely unknown to a Marine. I retreated and moved back towards the rear of the streetcar. There sat four young ladies who looked entirely different. I asked them if they were going to the dance. Their reply was, yes, but not to the same one you are. Then they said, We're going to get off at the Adams Ward and go to a Mormon dance. What do you know about the Mormon Church? I was surprised and delighted and willingly got off the streetcar with them and had a most delightful evening in my own surroundings. Have more confidence in yourself and allowing your decisions to be made just by chance. The decision to trust in the things of the world, to Nephi and his brothers, proved no more successful than just leaving things to chance. I was talking to a father while attending a state conference not so long ago. He was telling me about the pressures on his young teenage daughter to follow the ways of the world. She had made a decision not to follow those pressures. She was the only member of her class who was a member of the church. She was a very popular young lady with the boys and had many opportunities to go out on dates. She made the decision to tell every boy who would ask her for a date what standards she lived by. If she was to date them, they would be expected to conduct themselves in accordance with her standards. She would get a commitment from them before she would accept the date. One evening, the big campus football hero came up to her just before the most special dance of the year and said, "You know, I would ask you to go out on a date with me to this big dance if you'd lower your standards just a little." There was no hesitation in her voice as she replied, "I would go out with you. If I would go out with you, I would be lowering my standards." Be strong enough not to allow your decisions to be made on the ways of the world. Now, Nephi found success when he made his decision in having faith in the Lord and following his way. Several years ago in the church news section, there appeared a most interesting article about a young man who made decisions to trust in the ways of the Lord. The article reads this way, President Spencer W. Kimball is a constant inspiration to the church. This is not only in what he says, but likewise in what he does. When he addressed the Stockholm Area Conference, he revealed the secret of his success. He said, "When I was out alone milking the cows or putting up the hay, I had time to think. I mulled over in my mind this decision. I, Spencer Kimball, will never taste any form of liquor. I, Spencer Kimball, will never touch tobacco. I will never drink coffee, nor will I ever touch tea. Not because I can explain why I shouldn't, except the Lord has said not to. That is the point I'm trying to make. I made up my mind, as a little boy, I would never touch these things. And so, having made up my mind, it was easy to follow, and I did not yield. There are many temptations that came along, but I never even analyzed it. I did not stop to measure it and say, 'Well, shall I or shall I not?' I said to myself, 'I made up my mind. I would not. Therefore, I did not.'" If we would all follow his example and make decisions based on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what a difference it would make in our lives. Oh, youth of the noble birthright, make your decision here tonight that I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded. There is power in his way. There is great joy in being found in his service. There is no greater joy found in any place in the earth than following the Lord's way and having faith in his law. I bear you my solemn testimony, a decision to live by the law of the Lord will bring you life eternal. God lives. Jesus is the Christ. This is his way. May we all make the decision to follow him. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.